Last week, we strayed from the Peter series, and I did a message about the model father as we looked at the good father story. Many call it the prodigal son story. I think it's the good father story. But today, we're going to return back to 1 Peter. And of course, we're in the passage that's talking about submission. Did you know that most feel that submission is a negative thing? Have you found that to be true in your own life? And as I look at others and I look at my own self, we think it's a negative term. Like, oh, I've got to give up my wants. Can't ever get what I want to do. And I've got to deny myself. And we turn submission and we turn Christianity and this thing about being in Christ to a negative when God has right the opposite in mind. Submission is an attribute of the Trinity. Now, I want you to think about this. Submission is an attribute of the Trinity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have mutual submission to one another. Now, if we are in this mutual submission circle, doesn't that mean we should flow out of that same mentality? Now, we're one in Christ, we're union, and we're going to talk about more about this point as we go. So I just wanted to set that tone right up in the beginning. I've entitled today's message, Submission to One Another. As I stated, we finished 1 Peter chapter 2 a couple of weeks ago. So I want us to move into 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. And this passage has been used to try to whip up on women, to try to beat them into submission. And I bet you've never heard a message like you're about to hear. So I hope that you'll see this from a little different angle, okay? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. In the same way, and by the way, that means what was just said. And we're going to actually go back and look what was just said. Because it says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. How many of you seen men won to the Lord, if you will, or brought to the Lord through a godly wife? They just loved him, and vice versa. It's not just necessarily about the man coming to Christ. I've seen the opposite happen, where there was a man who said, you know what, I'm just going to keep following Christ, and maybe they married, they were not together, and now the man has been brought in, if you will. So that's kind of what it's talking about. And now, since it's said in the same way, I want us to go back, since it's been a couple of weeks or so before we've looked at this, and look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 21 through 25 or 6, right in there, something like that. For you have been called for this purpose. Now remember, it says, in the same way, and by the way, it gets to the men later too. Okay, so whatever we do is saying in the same way. So we need to study, what does this mean? Okay, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your soul. Do you get the picture when he says in the same way? The focus should be on Christ's submission. It should be on Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Now you'll begin to understand submission in a little bit of different light. Now, the Lord gave me a quote that ties a little bit to what I said in the beginning. I want you to see this on the screen. Submission is not meant to put you under bondage. It was meant to enable you to walk in Christ's freedom, totally dependent upon Him. Now, allow me to elaborate and explain. Most see submission as having to give up a desired act or right of doing something. I mean, is that true? If you think, well, I've got to submit to what they say, then I've got to give up what I want to do. Isn't that pretty much what we think? So submission is having to give up, in our minds, having to give up a desired act or right to do something. Submission is about giving up control and receiving trust. That's the truth. Submission is about giving up control and receiving trust. Let me give an example. Since I am an employer, I've been an employee and I've been an employer. I remember back when I was at the courthouse as a tax appraiser. And for you that know what they do, they appraise property that determines your tax bill. So this person was not quite like the tax collectors in the Bible hated, but they're up there in the mark, if you will. I didn't set the millage rate, which is multiplied by your value, but we set the value of your property, which determines how much you paid, depending on what the Board of Education, the commissioner, set the tax bill, the rate to be. And I was really discouraged, and I'd been there about 4 years, and I really was wanting to do something else. I wasn't being paid much, and I was taking more heat than the elected officials and making about half what they made. But anyway, so I got in my typical little self of poor little old me, you know, and I wanted a raise, and I went and asked for it, and I kind of began to push and take this thing upon myself to exalt me. In other words, well, I determine my own destiny. Don't you know when we make statements like that to ourselves, God's up there. Poor little old fellow. He wants to determine your destiny. He has determined your destiny. Well, submission helps you quit trying to force it, okay? But anyway, I went to the commissioner and never got. My mom was the commissioner's personal assistant. So, you know, we were kind of a close-knit family, if you will. And I had gone to school, and nobody in the past had ever gone to get their appraiser 3. Because I got this certification, a $30,000 grant was given. So I'm thinking, at least give me a little piece of that pie, you know. And but anyway, long story short, nothing happened, and he wouldn't give me a raise. And I said, okay, Lord, I got tired. I tried to get a job as an appraisal firm up here in Carrollton. That fell through. I almost got on with Farm Bureau. There's another agricultural, State Farm. No, it's a lending company, Ag South. I almost got on with them, and that fell through. And I finally said, okay, Lord, I'm willing to. I wasn't learning grace much back then, but he helped me a little bit back then. And I said, okay, Lord, I give up. I give up. I'm trying. It's not. If you want me to have it, something in the future, you can open the door. How many times have you seen God step up and open the door when you come to that place of giving up? I've heard women been trying to get pregnant for years. They've tried everything and fertility and all these things. And they came to the place, they said, okay, Lord, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be. I trust you with it. And then, boom, what happens? They get pregnant. I've heard that time and time again. That's the whole point. We're trying to force our agenda, or we think we're in control of our destiny. We're in control of our being exalted in the workplace, or our being exalted over a situation in the home, or, I mean, whatever it is that you want to get exalted out of, that we think that we're responsible for that. Folks, that goes contrary to grace teaching, don't it? Grace teaching teaches us to rest. But the law system that's been drilled in our head, well, if I do good, I'm going to get good. So we've applied that to even our workplace, to our home, and so forth. And God's trying to help us see that we don't control our own destiny. He wants us to lean totally upon Him. Does that mean you should never ask for a raise? No, not necessarily. But I can tell you one thing. We will err toward trying to push ourselves up the ladder, or push ourselves up over this home situation, or over this kid that's giving me trouble. And all these things, we will err going that direction sometimes and get ahead of God. But if He's behind it, I'm not your God. People say, well, when should I do this? I say, listen, I'm not your God. She don't really. Okay, all right. Anyway, let me get back. Y'all got me on a rabbit trail. All right, grace teaches us to lean on God's provision instead of our own. That's the bottom line. 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to now go back in again and read this passage, okay? It's a little bit lengthy, so hang with me. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold, jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be hidden person in the heart. Hey, I have, you know, men are visual. I'm just going to get transparent today, okay? Men are visual. You can see a good-looking woman, can't you, men? And you have to be careful, right? Ladies, just ignore us a second, okay? You know it anyway. But anyway, I've seen that, and then I would hear the conversation of that same lady just using foul language, very abruptive, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, you know what their beauty on the outside begins to do? It shrinks in comparison. Even to a visual person, it begins to shrink, and I'm thinking, no wonder she can't keep a guy, you know. But anyway, to me, this is what it's saying here. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit. This doesn't mean you're a doormat, ladies. It just means you're so saturated in the love of God that it just flows out of you. And you can't force this to happen. It has to come through the power of the Holy Spirit as you continue to grow in God's grace and love. A gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Now, I mentioned this scripture to my wife one time that's coming up. Y'all see what's coming up? I said, now, Sarah called Abraham Lord. Oh. Hey, that went over about as well as one time I said to Gail, I said, you know that scripture in Proverbs, you know, where it talks about the godly woman who's up early, you know, before the chickens. I mean, this is the CRV version. Up early before the chickens, she's making a hot breakfast. You know what she said? She said, if you want a hot meal, light your cornflakes on fire. If you that know my wife, she don't even know the sun's up before 12 noon. So she's just not a morning person. So anyway, that's why Hardy's and I are good buddies. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just on one today. Okay. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. Now, we preachers, how many of y'all heard preachers use this scripture to try to, I believe, to force women in submission by the Bible, you know? Usually they don't focus much on verse 7 that's coming up. The things that were just said to the wife about being submissive, look at what he says here. You husbands, in the same way. Well, I didn't see that, preacher, you know. Live with your wives in an understanding way and with someone weaker. That does not mean inferior. I've heard that preached so wrong. Since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of grace of life. Oh my gosh, what a powerful verse. What a powerful verse. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Basically, she's joint heirs with Jesus Christ just like you are. So that your prayers will not be hindered. As I stated, I've heard this passage used to try to put women in their place. It's been used as a weapon, I think, to make women feel inferior, or at least that's how they came out. I've had discussions where I've never preached this. I've preached it wrongly, but not near like some preachers I've heard preach it. This is not the intention of the Father at all, to make you feel inferior or anything. Back to what I said in the beginning, we are all in Christ, equality in Christ. We're in the circle of the Trinity. There is a union there. There is a submission to each other that's there. Inside this circle of life and love, there's mutual submission. There's no place for dominance through power. Now, question, can you picture the Father trying to manipulate the Son because He's God, you know? Can you picture that? But before, in my former life, when I thought God was an angry God, you know, somebody had to pay for sin, so Son, go deal with it. I looked at Him like that. Wow. Can you picture the Father trying to manipulate the Holy Spirit? And by the way, I'm about to share something with you. You study it out yourself, because you ain't never heard this before, probably. I heard Steve McVeigh say something one time that just, we think that God is gender, if you will, and we get upset. In the Shaq movie, you remember one of the squabbles was, well, God was portrayed as a woman. Then he was portrayed as a man. You didn't hear him talk about how, see, God meets you where you are. If you need a loving care of a woman's touch, that's who he'll become for you. Isn't that awesome? Anyway, Steve did this study one time, and he said that the Holy Spirit is mentioned in the Old Testament about 200 times. Now, it's translated as Spirit in some places and breath in other places. Now, 89 times that it's mentioned as Spirit in the Old Testament, of those 89 times, 80 times the word Spirit is used in conjunction with a feminine verb. Do you know what that means? That you could refer to the Holy Spirit as a her. When I go out and tell that on the street, study it out for yourself. But my point is, God is not gender, but Spirit. He meets us where we are with tenderness of a loving mother and with firmness at times as a father might. But I want you to hear a little bit about us submitting to each other. We hear preachers talk about wives submit, but you don't hear a whole lot about in the same way. You don't hear a whole lot about submitting to each other. Okay, and what does that mean? I want to jump over to some more of Paul's writings. We were in Peter, but we'll look to Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus to God, even the Father, and be subject. That word subject there means to submit or submission. But be in submission to one another in the fear of Christ. And then it goes on to say, wives, be subject to submissive to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for us. I used to lead vows, and I changed them up after grace, but I used to leave vows where I'd get them to commit. Well, I commit to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Are you kidding me? You think you can do that, man, in your own power? You know what I changed it to? I said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will do my best to allow him to love her. You're talking about you loving her like Christ loved the church. You can't do that, but God can through you when you submit. You can't agape love your wife like Christ loved the church if you don't let him do it through you. And by the way, the more you study and focus, men, on how much God agapes you, that's the deepest form of love for you don't know what that means. The more you study what that means, that God, how much He loves you, how can you even begin to think about loving your wife? So the focus should not be on, I got to love my wife, I got to love my wife. No, focus on how much you're loved. And I tell you what, she'll begin to see a change in you. I've heard people under grace teaching say, I've seen a change in my spouse. And it goes both ways. The more we saturate our minds and hearts with the love of God, the more love is going to flow through us. Now I want you to listen to this quote. If we mutually submit to one another, we will be experiencing the mutual submission of the Trinity. Now let me say that again. If we mutually submit to one another, we will be experiencing the mutual submission of the Trinity. Now, you know, back in the day, and it's still rampant in many countries, it's called chauvinism. Women, do y'all know what that means? It's men trying to make women feel inferior, and I'll tell you that's bad. But I'll tell you something else is bad. Women, hang on. Don't throw something at me. But feminism is just as bad. That's where now they're wanting to flip the table, and the pendulum was over here, now it's over here. Now we are going to be in charge. Folks, both of these are wrong. Trinitarianism teaches that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. One does not dominate the other. Therefore, with us being in Christ, we are not to dominate one another. We need to mutually submit to each other. Only the Holy Spirit can teach us what this means over time. Only the Holy Spirit can put this into place over time. We can know this up here. Well, I got to mutually submit. What does that mean? What does that look like? Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Don't worry about it. Just focus on Him, but have a general understanding about the Trinity. Because as we've seen throughout this whole passage in 1 Peter, it says to submit, maybe the slaves submit to masters. You know, when we could apply that to the workplace. But then he goes right back in, throws in some more about Christ's submission. Then he'll say, submit in the home. Then he goes right back and starts talking about Christ's submission. You see, I've never looked at it that way before. Jesus displayed that same type of submission when he went to the cross. I'm going to throw a theological term at you. How many of you have ever heard the term kenosis? We got one theologian back there. All right, kenosis, I was in seminary one time, and we were going, it was a class called Christology, it's the study of Christ. But anyway, they threw out this term, kenosis, and I'm thinking, what gnosis did you say? Can you imagine this little boy in seminary under deep professors? Anyway, here's what the term means. It means it's a concept of the self-emptying of one's own will and becoming entirely receptive to God and His divine will. Now, to put this in plain English so that I can understand, we go to the Bible. In Philippians chapter 2, I want to read you a few verses here, starting in verse number 3. Look at this. This is pointing to what Christ did. This is the theological term called kenosis. And once again, that's not a biblical term. I don't know how that came up, but it's describing this situation. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. You want a picture of submission? You want some to-dos? For you that's got to have a to-do list? Here we go, okay? Just follow this. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see how when Bible talks about submitting, or giving up our desires and look to others' desires, it always points back to Jesus. Having this desire in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, but did not regard equality with the Father of God, a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself. That's where the kenosis comes in. He emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. Friends, Jesus emptied Himself. He submitted Himself. That means He brought Himself under. He brought Himself under death, sin, and the grave. Why did He do that? So that you and I could be exalted. So you and I could be raised with Him. What a beautiful picture of submission. God's very nature, now listen, God's very nature is to follow this process. Hear me. When we submit, God gets involved in exalting. As long as we want to try to exalt ourselves, then He'll let you do that. He's not mad at you. He's seen every bit of that on the cross. He loves you just the same. He will step back. And when we want to walk in the flesh and do what we want to do out of our own self-effort, you see? And the law taught us to do that in church. Preacher says, well, you want to please God, then you better be serving harder. You better be doing this. You better be doing that. And it was just built into our DNA if you were raised in church. I've had to unlearn a whole lot. I'm still unlearning a whole lot. Satan has distorted this thing of submission. Satan wants you to think that submission takes away your rights. He says submission robs you of getting what you want. Can I remind you of 1 Peter 5? Wow, this is powerful. I heard this back years ago, and I didn't even half understand it then, and I don't half understand it now, but I'm getting closer. Talking about what we've been talking about here, if you want to be exalted, here we go. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, or in proper time. This is not just for marriage, it's not just for the workplace, this is not just for you getting exalted out of a hurtful situation. You don't know what to do. You don't know what they're going to do. You know, how am I? You know, whatever it is that's got you down, you want to be exalted out of it. You know what the key is? Quit trying. Humble yourself, saying, God, you know this situation. You know I'm hurting. I want this illness to pass. I want this person to straighten up. I don't know what to do here. Whatever it is, young people, whatever it is, trust the Lord with it. Quit trying to fix it. You can't fix your parents. Angel, you kind of alone in here, baby. You can't fix us. I can just go ahead and tell you. You can't fix me for sure. My wife's tried and it didn't work. Trust God with it. Let Him exalt you to what you need. You see, that takes the pressure off. You can rest. I really can trust God to take care of that job. I really can trust God to take care of that illness. I really can trust God to exalt me out of that bad relationship or fix that bad relationship. Yes, you can. Well, preacher, I've been doing that and it ain't happened yet. Well, keep trusting. What does submission look like? Not fighting for your own rights. What does submission look like? Laying down my rights to show love to one another. Now, some invariably say, submission is not giving up and being a doormat. That's not what this means. I say this often, and some of my employees might hear me say this every now and then. We've got customers, believe it or not. Jesus couldn't please them, and we ain't going to please them. It doesn't mean you're a doormat. It just simply means doing the very best you can and trusting God with it. But I'll say this often, that Jesus Christ, who is the very embodiment and picture of submission, was no doormat. Yes, He humbled Himself to be beaten for you and me. But there's times He flipped over money tables too. How do you know? Once again, ask the Holy Spirit who lives within you. He's the key. You'll just know. Okay? Submission often is looked to as a loss. I'm giving up something. Can I tell you something? Submission is winning. Say, what did you say, preacher? I said, that's right. Submission is winning. Godly submission. Let me put it that way. Question. Did Jesus submit to the Father? Yes. The answer is yes. Did Jesus submit to humanity? Yes. Did Jesus lose? No. We don't have to win to win. I'm laying some heavy stuff on y'all, ain't I, today? Y'all know this little simple-minded guy that come up with this. This has to be the Holy Spirit. Submission is not being conquered, it's just laying down your lives in love and trusting God. You've already won in the midst of what you think might be a loss. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Not we are going to become more conquerors. We've already won the battle. Stop fighting for victory. Walk in Christ's victory right in the valley. Sometimes losing on the surface seems like a loss, but submission is not about laws, it's about love. And to sum this up, say, preacher, I can't believe it. You go in. 1 Peter 3, verse number 8. Look at this. To sum up, all of you husbands, be harmonious, sympathetic, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, This could be the ladies too, okay? This is all about God's love, okay? We want to pick out scripture. See there, wife, you need to do this. And the wives say, see there, husband, you need to do this. You're missing the point. Not returning evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. Some of y'all are going to get opportunity this week to that spouse. Maybe to a customer. But giving a blessing instead, and you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Father, thank you for just stretching us today, helping us to look at submission through the lens of grace, just a little bit different than maybe what we have in the past. Father, I thank you that I can trust you. My mind goes back to just 6 years ago when I was about to lose our home. I was trying to give, I was trying to trust you as we started this church. But personal, financially, Father, I was in a mess. And once again, I had to come to the place of total submission and saying, God, you know what? If I lose the house, it's okay. That you and I are still good. I had to practice 1 Peter 5. It says, just humbly submit right where you are and leave the exalting up to you. And Father, as a blessing from you, we're about to move into a brand new home that I don't deserve. You've given us a thriving business. You've given us a new grandbaby. You've given us new friends to work with, like Adam and Michael and Jennifer and all the others, that it's not by chance that this all happened. And I'm overwhelmed with your blessings. You've given me a loving family right here at church. And I just can't give you enough praise and glory. Father, help us to understand submission this week. I don't have to pray for you to give us opportunities. We're going to be faced with them. And help us to just walk in your spirit. Father, understanding mutually submission in the home, at our work, at school, or wherever we might be, Lord, with friends. Father, help us to understand your submission. You submitted to the point of death so that I could be exalted to be in your family of circle, your circle of love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.